church family. I am honored to be up here. I do not feel worthy, but thank the Lord that he has called and I have obeyed.
Amen.
We have heard for, I think, a couple weeks ago, Xiomara preached and she said, you know, I was going to preach on this, but then I felt impression to preach on something else. And for the past 2 years, I had a sermon prepared. I've been preparing on a message that I think it's beautiful, and I told myself one day I'll share this message with our church family. So when my husband said, you're going to preach on this day, I'm like, yes, I have my notes. I'm kind of ready. And then the Lord's like, I don't think so. You're going to talk about something different. I'm like, okay, I will. So here we go. But before here we go, we need to talk to God first. Okay, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I don't know what to say, but thank you. We are all humble that we are here today. Thank you so much that you have chosen us. Thank you so much that you have died for us, redeemed us, Father. And Lord, I ask for a special anointing over me right now. Amen. Father, may your spirit speak through me. And please, I know we all need to hear this message today, including myself. So I pray that you just guide our Bible study this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, we're not going to open our Bibles to our scripture reading. We're actually going to open to Ephesians 6. So if you please have your Bibles or your phones, and you want, join me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. If you are there, say amen. The book of Ephesians can be summarized by Paul first says to us, hey, you have been saved, you have been redeemed by the grace of God. Through faith you are saved. And then Paul talks about you have been chosen, you have received a call. And then Paul says, this is how you ought to live as a Christian. Walk in love. Chapter 5, walk in light, walk in wisdom. He addresses marriage. Husbands, this is how you should love your wives. Wives, this is how you should respect your husbands. Parents, children, obey your parents. Parents, don't provoke your children to anger, and so on. And then Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, Paul says, finally. That's how the verse starts, finally. Because he has said so much, but this part right here is very important. So he says, finally. And he says, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, against, and NASB says, the schemes of the devil. Did you notice that it says the whole armor? There's a reason for that. That's not there just because. There's a reason why Paul is saying the whole armor of God. We'll get to that in a moment. And Paul says, why do you need the whole armor? Well, here's why. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Paul wants us to understand that we're not wrestling against another human. So you can't fight this, whatever this is at the moment, you can't fight it because it's not human. It's not like you. And he gives a detail of what we're fighting against. You're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're not fighting against your wife or your husband or your co-worker. No. You're fighting against principalities, against powers, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's pretty descriptive. Thank you so much. We're not fighting against something we can fight against with our own strength. And that is what Paul is saying right here. We are fighting against something that we're going to need assistance. Wouldn't you agree? Yes. Who remembers that thing? When this came out, this is a little box that you connect it to your landline, and you can see who was calling. There was no cell phones. And when my parents brought this home, this was so exciting. Because now we don't have to play the guessing game of who's calling anymore. Now we knew, oh, let me see who's calling. How cool was that, right? Young kids, you will never understand what that felt like. But this was pretty cool. And as we all know, technology has advanced tremendously over the past 20 years. And now we have cell phones and we have so much. But I want to talk about algorithms. Who knows what that is? Algorithms, the best way I could describe it is a software, is a program that's designed to identify the problem in a computer and solve it and follow steps to solve it, okay? So examples of algorithms is you go on Netflix. We all have Netflix or access or know of it. You watch a documentary. Ooh, I like that one. You watch another documentary, then you watch a movie. And the algorithm of Netflix is trying to figure out who Maria is, what you like. Oh, because you watched this documentary and this movie, it's trying to figure you out. So that's why Netflix has a category that says suggestions for you. You've seen that category, right? Mm-hmm. And it has this movie, and you're like, oh, I think I'll like that. I think I'll like that too. Same thing happens with Pandora. You search, I don't know how many of us still use Pandora, but you search a song that you want to listen to, and if you let it play, you're like, oh, I like that song. I like the next one. And then there's one song that you're like, I don't really like that one. And when you hit the thumbs down, you're letting the algorithm know, okay, this is what you don't like. This is what you do like. Why am I bringing this up? Guess who's been studying you since you were born? This is not an enemy. This is not a person that cuts you off at, you know, in the highway, or a coworker that says something mean to you or rude to you. That's understandable because we've failed. We have said something hurtful to a person because maybe we were feeling stressed or under emotion, whatever the case may be. It says the devil is scheming against you. There's a difference between failing and there's a different in making a mistake, and there's a difference between scheming against somebody. That the devil's plotting against you. He is scheming against you, against all of us. So the enemy wants you to know and to feel that he's not there, that he doesn't exist. That is why when your husband, when our husband says something, or when your wife, or whoever they fill in the blank, when they say something, you start fighting back, it's not them. Stop fighting with these weapons that don't work. You keep bickering and bickering, but that's what it is. He is scheming against us, and we keep fighting over and over again the wrong enemy. Because your husband's not your enemy, your wife is not your enemy, your sister, your brother, your coworker, they're not your enemy. The thing is that the enemy knows what bothers you. He knows exactly what's going on with you because he's been studying you. So he knows. And that's why he's going to use whatever he can, including the people that we love, against us. Now, you may say, how is that possible? Because this person loves me. I love this person. How is that possible? Well, it is possible. And let me tell you why. Please turn with me to Matthew 16, verse 33. And if I can please have a volunteer to read that. It's Matthew 16:33. Matthew 16:33, no?
No.
Is this okay? Let me turn. Wait 1 second. My apologies. It is Matthew 16:24. And let me just give you a little bit of background. So this is when Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's telling them, look, this is what's going to happen to me. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer in the hands of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and risen on the third day. I'll read it. Then 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, wait, no, 23, sorry. It says that Peter calls Jesus aside and said, and Peter says to Jesus, far be it from you, Lord, that this shall happen to you. And Jesus says to him, look what Jesus says to him. He turns, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Who was talking to Jesus? It was Peter physically in front of Jesus. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Did Peter love Jesus?
Yes.
Yeah, he did. Peter built a church in Acts. And in this moment, Jesus is saying to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Because Satan took advantage of whatever crack Peter had in his armor that day and spoke through him. And Jesus saw that. Are we seeing that when we have people hurting us? Or are we seeing the person in front of us? So there has to be something we're not seeing. You don't have to turn, but if we see in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, the Syrians are surrounding the Israelites. And Elijah's servant runs to him and say, what are we going to do? We're surrounded. And what did Elijah say? Lord, I pray that you open his eyes. Mm-hmm. And what does scripture tells us? That his eyes were open. He was not blind. His spiritual eyes were open, and he saw an army around them. Horses and chariots of fire around them. So if there's a heavenly army fighting for you, who do you think is fighting against you? There's an evil army, right? If there's one, there's the other. So this scene is from a show I watch, which I regret because it's very sinful. However, I don't regret it because I was able to see this one scene that depicts exactly what we're talking about this morning. And this is the good guy. And before this happens, he's in the tent, he's with his generals, and they have a map in front of the table, and they're making their war plan of how they're going to attack the enemy. Okay? And they're moving their pieces and saying, we're going to go this way, we're going to go this way. Now, his sister was married to the evil person they're about to this guy that they're about to fight. And she says to him, whatever you're doing, stop, because it's not going to work. You don't know who you're fighting against. And he gets a little upset with her. And she keeps telling him, stop. You don't know him like I do. Whatever you think, scratch it, because it's not going to work. He doesn't listen. So when the day comes, the opponent, this evil person, of course, throws a curveball that he did not expect. And he, and in this scene, he almost loses the battle because he did not understand who his enemy was. And wouldn't you agree that we continue to fight and continue to have all these attacks against the enemy because we're not understanding who our enemy is? We are underestimating what is going on behind the scenes. And that's why we continue to get hurt. That's why we continue to let Satan get into our marriage and use our children and use our coworkers, because we're not understanding who's behind it. I heard this quote, and I think it's just such a powerful quote. And it says, "There is always something you cannot see controlling what you can." Did you hear that? There is always something you cannot see controlling what you can see. I think it's time that we unmask who our enemy is. I think it's time that we start using the weapons that actually are going to work against our enemy. So, let's go back to Ephesians and let's see how we can do this. So we're going to go back to Ephesians 6, and we're going to pick up on verse 13. Give you a minute. And it says, verse 13, "Therefore, take up the whole armor." There's that word again, whole. "Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Verse 14. "Stand therefore girded with your waist with truth." All right. Here's a picture of an armor. So back in that time, the first part of the armor that they would put on, the soldiers, was the belt. Okay? Because if it wasn't for the belt, everything else would fall apart. It was holding the armor together. And without the belt, the armor will not hold on for very long. So, the belt of truth. You know, church family, we're living in a time where it's postmodern. So what is the world society telling us? Everything is relative. There's no absolute truths. And I remember hearing that for the first time. And I'm like, what? People say, no, that's your truth, right? That's your truth. That's what you believe. And we have to be very careful, because this is being embedded in so many people. Like, no, you have your own truth. No, I do not. This is truth. So if you're not certain about something, come here. And you can see what is truth. What did Jesus say? I am the truth. So, Paul says this is the first piece that you need to hold on to. You need truth. We need to make sure we're not wavering in what we have believed in. We can't waver. You have to believe that this is truth. And stand by that. Don't waver. What else does Paul say? What's the second part? Having put on your breastplate of righteousness. Before we go on to that, I remember there's there's a song about there's a song Casting Crowns, and it's called A Slow Fade. I don't know how many of you have heard of it, but the song talks about that Satan doesn't you don't fall right away. It's slow. He starts attacking very slow. And if you heed, you will fall eventually, but you don't fall overnight, right? Mm-hmm. So there's two verses that come to mind when we talk about living in this postmodern world and how everything is relative. And I'm sure you have seen messages like these. How many of you have seen messages like these all over? Aren't they cute, though? They put the little arrows and some feathers, and most of the time they're kind of pinkish, and you're like, oh, I'm going to hang that in the wall in my room. How cute. You know that's deception, correct?
Yeah.
What does Scripture tell us? What is Jeremiah? Somebody please turn to Jeremiah 17:9. And if you have it, please, if you can read it for me. Jeremiah 17:9.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Wow. So Scripture just told us that our heart is deceitful. Follow your heart. No, don't. So whatever you're seeing, it doesn't matter how cute, and believe me, I've seen cute picture frames with these messages. I'm like, oh, that is cute. No, it's deceitful. Proverbs 3:5 tells us, lean not on your own understanding. You can't trust yourself. So it's not only about learning who your enemy is. You need to know how sinful you are. How we can waver, how we cannot trust ourselves. This is what Scripture is telling us. You cannot lean on your own understanding, and you cannot follow your heart, but the devil has found a way to make it cute and put it in a bow in a picture frame, and we have been following. Did you want to say something, Jay?
Disney movies? Disney princess?
It's everywhere. Follow your heart. That's the message that these movies have. Follow your heart. No, that is deceitful. That is not godly. All right, now we can turn to the breastplate of righteousness. Many years ago, at the church we were attending at the time, there was a family that she had. It was a single mom. She had two sons, two teenage sons. And all of a sudden, we start hearing that one of the sons, there's something going on with him. We didn't quite understand in the beginning what was going on, but that he would start acting very different and start leaving the home and would not come, and he would leave without his shoes. And the police couldn't find him. They couldn't find him. They didn't know what was going on with him until finally we realized that he was possessed. And it happened for a long time. Finally, the pastor got together with the elders of the church, and they decided to go to the sister's home. And I don't know exactly, I wasn't there, so I don't know the details of how the pastor and the elders went up to the room, and they saw something. The mom was from the Caribbean. In the Caribbean, there's a lot of black magic. And she had these little statues of God knows what. And the pastor said, you need to get rid of that. We will not pray until you get rid of those things. You need to get that out of this house. Unfortunately, she refused. We need to make sure that we're not creating an environment in our homes for the devil to dwell. She had created an environment that she didn't have to say, "Devil, you are welcome into my home." She didn't make an invitation for him. She created one, though. You are welcome with those things. So there could be, maybe, that we have created something in our home to invite the enemy into our home. The breastplate of righteousness. Let's go back to that. That means that we are being righteous. That means you're living upright. That means that what you have believed in, which is the truth, your lifestyle is going to go aligned with truth. That means that it's not only on Sabbath, it's not only that you're praising here today, that means that the rest of the 6 days that you have, that we're not together, that you're not here, that you are living according to truth. You get that, right? Mm-hmm. The belt of truth. Now you have the breastplate. Let's continue. Verse 16, what does it say? Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts from the wicked one. So remember the battle scene that I described and how the good guy had no idea who he was fighting against? That battle scene ends with him getting face to face with his enemy. And his enemy has arrows. And he has a shield. And the enemy sees him and he starts. And then here he goes and he blocks. And the enemy is like one after the other, and he continues to block, and he continues to block, he continues to block until he gets close enough to defeat him. That shield, it says that it's faith. Faith in what you have believed in. Faith that you were chosen, you have received a heavenly calling, correct? So when a person you love tells you, "You're worthless," that shield says, "No, I'm not. I'm not worthless." Because you have believed, correct? You have believed what God has said about you.
Amen.
So every time that someone attacks you, if you need to picture it, if we need to picture it in our mind that we have a shield, then picture that in your mind, if that helps. That helps me. I need to picture things in my mind. Anytime somebody is rude to you and says whatever, I know the things that I have lived through and what people have called me before, that I'm not smart enough, that I can't speak well, I'm going to grab my shield and say, "You are wrong. No, I know what God has said. I have believed what he has said of me and the plan he has for me and for my family." We need to be girded in truth. We need to make sure that we're not wavering, because people are watching. And the moment you waver, that's when they're going to start pointing the finger. "Well, I thought you were a Seventh-day Adventist. Why are you working on Sabbath?" We need to make sure that we're cemented in what we have believed. We need to make sure that we are living our breastplate according to the truth. And we need to believe in his promises with our shield.
Amen.
Our faith, correct? And then we have verse 17, the helmet of salvation. And you are here today because you have a helmet on, because you have believed. We have believed that he has saved us, so we're here today with our helmet on, correct? And then it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So when we have the word of God, we can go back to messages like these, and we can slay those messages, because that's not real. It may look cute, But that's not real. So the sword, the word of God, that's how we can slay all these philosophies that we now hear today. Oh, that's your truth. No, there is one truth, right? That's how we can do that. But here's the most important one. And that's why our scripture reading was different from what we're reading today right now. 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and be watchful, says Paul. Now we're going to go back to our scripture reading, which was Matthew 17. And Gabriel, thank you, Gabriel, for reading. Gabriel read verse 20, I believe, to 21. But just to give you background, it says in verse 14 that there was a multitude, and this man came to Jesus, and he said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, and he suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So, you know, I brought him to your disciples. But what happened? They could not cure him. And what did Jesus say? Oh, faithless and perverse generation. Who is he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. And he's calling his disciples, his followers, faithless and perverse generation. Again, don't trust yourself. You don't know. How long should I be with you? How long should I bear with you? Bring him to me. And look what Jesus says. Jesus rebuked the demon and never said he was demon possessed, did it?
No.
But Jesus, that's a topic for another day. I'm not even going to delve into that one. But he rebuked the demon. The demon came out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Verse 20, Jesus said, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And this is the key. However, there's a clause, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So yeah, our shield is key. But this right here goes along with everything else. Prayer and fasting. That's how we fight back. We have to make sure that we are cemented in truth. That we are living upright according to the truth. Right? That we have faith to defend ourselves. But what moves everything is the prayer and fasting. I don't know what you guys are going through in your homes. I know what I'm going through in my home. And I've been fighting the wrong person this whole time. And I think it's time that we start unmasking who's behind the veil. Because it's not our wives, it's not our husbands. No. There is a real enemy, and he does exist. Let's stop believing that he doesn't. No, he does. He does exist. So what are we going to do? We want our church to grow, right? We need to be ready when we step into the ground of ministry, which you all are in ministry, by the way, all of you. If you have children, you're in ministry. If you are here, you're in ministry. You need to be prepared for the attack because he's coming after you. He's coming after you in health. He knows how to attack. But here's the thing. If your armor is not in place, he will find the crack in your armor. He will find a way. And remember that Jesus said, you will have trouble. You will. But take heart, I have overcome. What does that tell you? He has won the war. That doesn't mean there's not battles to be fought. He won already, which that should give us comfort that he won already, right? He has won. but there's battles to be fought. And when you look at Ephesians again, there's so much to unpack there, but when you look at Ephesians again, it says that you will be able to stand. Right? So when you're receiving those darts from the enemy, you're going to receive them. It's not like you're not. You will. But you need the shield. You need all your armor in place with prayer and fasting so you can stand and not fall.
Amen.
So church, I have a calling that we all need to be living according to what is in Scripture. That we need our armor, that we need to be praying, that we need to be fasting. I mean, look what's happening. Everything is crumbling. We don't know if what's going to happen with this virus. Now, we're not scared. That's not it. The thing is that the world is crumbling. Jesus is coming very soon. And there's no time to waste. And there's no time to keep fighting the people you love. Pray for the people you love that you feel you're being attacked, right? Through them. Pray for them. So I'm going to ask you to stand. And we're going to have a very special prayer. Abba, Father, Lord, you know very well I didn't want to preach on this today. I had everything prepared for something different. But Lord, our church has been under attack for a minute now. And Lord, we need to stop fighting the people in front of us. We need to stop seeing with our carnal eyes and see with our spiritual eyes. It hurts when we are under attack by people we love. It does hurt and it feels so personal. But it's because it is. The enemy is using the people we love to attack us. He knows us so well, Father, but you know us more. You see the depths of our hearts, Father, and still you love us the same. Thank you for having so much patience and love and mercy towards us.
Amen.
Father, we believe, but help our unbelief. Help us to be girded in truth. We don't want to waver anymore. It is not time to waver anymore. This world is coming to a close, Father, and you have said in your word that we cannot be lukewarm. We're either hot or cold, and enough is enough. We don't want to live lukewarm anymore. Father, I pray that you protect our eyes, that you protect what we hear, what we see, and what we do. We are bombarded so much with our phones, with the ads and commercials, with everything around us, Father. And it may look pretty and it may sound cute, but it's all deception. Father, when we are not sure about something, let us go back to your word and make sure that what we're seeing is either deception or it's you. Father, we trust that you have heard us this morning. Father, I pray for healing over this church, physical healing. We have people like Sandra and Lori, Father. Lori's having a procedure. Sandra is with her broken arm and Jerson with his arm as well, Father. I pray for healing. And I pray for broken hearts. I can't imagine what it is to lose a child. And our dear sister has lost her son. Please heal her broken heart, Father. This too shall pass, and you will heal her. Bless the leaders of this church.
Amen.
Father, when we have decided to follow you and to lead, I think a lot of us were not prepared for what was coming afterwards. But now we know. Now we can look in your word and we can see what the devil has been doing and is doing in our lives. And we can say no, no more. Now we can put on this armor. We can pray, we can fast. We have the tools. We have the equipment to fight back.
Amen.
Bless us, Lord. Let us walk out of this church, Father, changed and ready to fight back.
Amen.
The devil will not have a victory over our family, over anyone that we love.
Amen.
These are your children. We are yours. And you have called us and you have chosen us for a greater purpose.
Amen.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for being with us. And Lord, a special blessing over this new week. Help us see with spiritual eyes. We ask all these things in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I have a testimony. I think it's very important because I have been doing, sorry to do that, but for therapy, for my group.
Father, again, we thank you for sharing your truth with us today. Father, I pray that now that we leave, may we be just thinking, at least thinking in deep in thought, about maybe things that we need to change in our lives, Father. Things that we need to let go, even though we don't want to. But Father, nothing compares to the victory. Nothing compares to going to heaven, Father.
Amen.
Things that we've never seen, things that we've never heard, you have for us.
Amen.
So Father, please keep our eyes focused on the goal, which is to be with you in heaven.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.